have you told your listeners, your audience, that your grandmother hit Jimmy Superfly Snooker with her cane?
We've talked about here that my grandmother, my meemaw, my mother, Marty's mother, used to love wrestling. It was back then, it was the NWA. She used to sit on the edge of her bed and you could hear her screaming, "They're going to kill him. They're going to kill him."
That's
she
why.
She thought somebody's got to do something.
God have mercy on us all.
Did I screw that up?
And you can get Listen Up for only
$14.99. All right, so this is a Pod Have Mercy special Christmas pop-up episode. Whatever that means, it means it was on all the books and scheduled. And my brother and mother are in town for Henry, my grandson's baptism, which happened on Sunday.
It was awesome.
And my mother, who's here off camera, she doesn't want to be on camera, but you'll hear her chime in from time to time because she just can't, you won't be able to help yourself. You will. She's committed not to at this point, but she will. Because if you text me when, sometimes she'll text me. We never done a live one. I did call you one time. Do you remember that?
You call in and hold the phone up to them?
No, I did call her one time. And she did have an appearance on the podcast on the phone. But so this is my brother, Matt Stevens, who's also a pastor at the church called The Fort in Columbus, Georgia. Why don't you tell everybody real quick about The Fort?
Yeah, Fort is it's a great church, a lot of great people. We've got a ministry in two locations there in Columbus.
Georgia,
yeah. And done some church revitalization where we partnered with churches that were in decline and went into those facilities and work on revitalizing those. Large part of our ministry at one of our locations is folks in recovery or transitioning from incarceration, homelessness, which is a huge percentage of that congregation of people is coming from that lifestyle, maybe being on the streets, and now come in, meet Jesus, the hope of the gospel, and begin to transform their lives, and we get to be part of that discipleship and watching that transformation. So we got a lot of really, really good stories. You know, it's a lot of challenges involved in all of that, but it's good. It's good.
There's some similarities with Mercy Street here at Chapelwood. People out of recovery, in and out, or coming out of prison, or reentering out of prison. And you have some stories of, I've heard through the years, of some interesting.
Yeah, it keeps it from being boring for sure. Yeah.
But I thought since you were in town, you'd never been in the studio. I think we had you on the podcast before.
I zoomed in, maybe?
Zoomed in. Maybe during COVID. I don't remember. It's a long time ago. I don't remember yesterday.
But it's nice in here.
It is nice.
It's a nice setup.
It's nice. Jeff does it all. He's the man. Keeps us straight. But I thought since we have two brothers who are both pastors, one's Baptist, one's Methodist. We used to do a little shtick.
We did.
Back in the day.
Somebody asked me about it yesterday at church.
Oh, they did?
When are y'all doing that again?
You used to invite Matt to my churches, and we did it here. I don't think we did it here one time, though.
I guess, yeah.
A long time ago.
Right.
But we do this sort of Baptist Methodist brothers, and it starts out with me making a lot of jokes about Baptists.
Yeah.
Which people don't appreciate, but I don't do that anymore.
Most of the people appreciate it. They laugh. Any excuse to laugh in church, they like it.
And then we talk about sort of the major stereotypes that people have of Baptists and Baptists have of Methodists. And then we laugh, we chuck it up.
A lot of fun.
Fun for the whole family. So anyway, that's good. And my mother's here. Marty, you sure you don't want to be on the camera? Would you like a microphone? Okay. So she's going to be real shy for a while. But there will be something we will say at some point. What do you think the over-under is? Before she chimes in.
Well, I think you've got her setting her heels in the dirt right now. So she would do a lot to prove you wrong.
All right. So. Yeah, that's very super. All right. So I thought, if nothing else, you know, it's Christmas. It's time of the year when people are thinking about all sorts of things. And there was a thing I found that was, I think it's a good time of the year for families to be together. And to spend some time talking about things that, you know, memories, the conversations you have with your kids, conversation you have with your family and your adults. And it's kind of called a jar of conversation, where you take these questions and you print them out and you put them in the jar, and then you ask these different things. So I'm going to ask you a couple of these questions.
Is there a jar?
It's not a jar. No, okay. I didn't do the jar. This is kind of, we threw this together late. So I thought there was a couple of questions here that I'd ask. Some are meant for kids, some are meant for adults. So I think I'll lean with you towards the kids type questions. Yeah. And then we'll both kind of riff on the answer. So here's one. I'm just pulling them randomly off this. What are you looking forward to most about Christmas this year?
Well, looking forward to most about Christmas. I'm looking forward to the week after Christmas. Christmas.
That's not a lie, though, Jeff. Every pastor I know is like, it's the most exciting time of the year. It's busy. There's parties. There's Christmas Eve services and everything. But, man, that once Christmas Eve is over.
Yeah, it's a lot getting everything together. And, of course, it's all on Christmas Eve this year. So it's good. And then we'll take the week after that to do nothing. And no pastor, no lead pastor preaches that next Sunday.
Mm-hmm. So National Associates.
Right. That's right. Yeah. Youth minister. It's a preaching day. So, but no, we, so we have our Christmas Eve service, and last few years we've, moms come over. Have you enjoyed that, Mom? Still trying to get something out
come
of
on.
Her.
You can say, you can speak. It's okay. Why wouldn't you just say something?
It's awesome.
Thank you. That's good. I wish she had a microphone. She would speak even more. It was awesome. Oh, and you go ahead.
Yeah. So,
get off your phone, Marty. Pay attention. This is a special. We're here together as a family. That's nice. Oh, she's multitasking.
But that service is always real sweet. We do that at our, we call it Mount Zion location. With these church revitalizations, we retain the names of the churches before, so it's not just the Fort North Columbus. Anyway, and that's a sweet, smaller congregation, and they've had this tradition of the Christmas Eve service forever, you know. And so we kept doing that, and they, you know, invite extra family along, and so
traditions are hard to break for churches.
But I mean, you know, I love those people so much. It's, you know, and I enjoy the time now with them, you know, something we always did at the church previously. So but yeah, we last few years we got to invite some folks from the church over that may not have any family locally or anybody around. You know, one guy, you know, grew up through the foster system all the way, you know, through. And anyway, we were in small group one night, and he just got real upset. We were talking about family, and somebody else's mother passed away. He just got so upset, so distraught. He's, you know, special needs adult, and he just couldn't be comforted. And after small group, the ladies are just gathered around hugging him, just trying to get him, you know, to be comforted. Mm-hmm. And he says, I was never adopted, and nobody, I'll never have a family. And Christy's just crying.
Oh, my gosh.
And she goes, I'll adopt you.
Christy's your wife, of course.
Right, right.
So, and all of a sudden, you're like, oh, I got a son.
I got a son who's a few years older than me. So, so he has to be invited over for Christmas Eve.
Oh, that's so nice.
Because he's my adopted son now. So, that'll be fun. We'll do that and have a good time with that. So, look forward to that. The boys are big now, so there's no excitement getting up. Got one already out of the house.
Yeah, we're not going to be quite there because Henry is 7 months. Yep. So while it'll be special and he can, you know, respond and interact to things with you, but it won't be quite the same as next year, he's 18 or 19 months old, and then it's going to be like a whole new world. So this year is going to be special, but it's still nap time, feeding schedule, you know, all that kind of, I think he'll be overstimulated. Might be a little much for him, but yeah, we do the same thing. I mean, the other thing I think people may or may not know about pastors, and it's obvious when you think about it, we don't really travel to see our families on Christmas Eve or Christmas time unless it's the week after, and because we have to be here. I mean, Christmas Eve is a big, big thing. And this year, Christmas Eve is on a Sunday. Not always interesting to me when Christmas or Christmas Eve falls on a Sunday. So now you all are going to do your regular Sunday morning schedule.
Yep.
And then one Christmas Eve service.
Right.
And as Baptists, it's always like 11 p.m.
Well, the two locations, so it's difficult to do 11 p.m. So.
The running joke is you'll never find a Baptist church that does a midnight Christmas Eve service. I've never seen one.
No. Uh-uh. No, do y'all do that here?
We have for many years. We still do have an 11 p.m. service.
Yeah. I didn't know y'all still did that.
Man, but the Catholics and Episcopalians?
Right.
Oh, yeah. You got to have communion or mass like right at midnight, stay till like 12:30 in the morning. Yeah.
Yeah, that's tough.
And so a lot of Methodist churches carry over because we have that Anglican tie-in.
Right.
But then there's a lot of Methodist churches that are more Baptist than they are Methodist. So they have like, we're going to have a service at 3 and 5, and then you're going to get your rear end home. We're not going to be out anymore.
We do it just late enough so that at the end of the service, the candlelight, you know, is special.
It's dark.
Right.
Yeah.
So it starts in the daylight, ends at sunset. Yeah. So.
Well,
it's
a bunch of Baptists. They got to get home as quickly as possible so they can start drinking, because you can't drink in public, right?
Right. Yeah. Correct. Yeah. And if you have these guests over, it just extends.
I know.
So, you know.
I know. Yeah. Can't hear the guests. You got to go. You got to be out of here by 6 o'clock. No, but we're actually doing our contemplative service in the chapel and one service in the sanctuary. But then we have all our 3, 5, 7, 9, right. 11, and then our other campuses. You have got those services. So yeah, it's a crazy afternoon. It's surreal.
Yeah.
It's like a marathon. But I really look forward to that day. I mean, it kicks you in the rear end. So,
so are you guys here? Y'all like Waffle House? Like nobody gets Christmas off. I mean, like, is everybody on deck for Christmas?
Yeah. Eve? So for vast majority of our staff will serve in some window, but it's usually like a 20-minute window.
Yeah.
So what we do is we try to align and say, hey, what service are you going to come to, or mm-hmm. which service would you come to? And then we try to ask them just to give us 20 minutes before or after to serve as greeters. Cause you know, you're maxing out also your lay volunteers because they're with their family. So it's really hard to get your volunteers as many as you normally would have, especially for all that many services.
Yep.
So yeah, we ask them to come, but we don't make them work all day. Now, people like Jeff, our AV tech team, which is amazing, the sound and audio and video. Those guys are working harder than the pastors are. It's the Super Bowl. It's the Super Bowl. I mean, they have to come. Like, you know, I can show up like right before the service starts. Yeah. I'm ready to go. But these guys have to be up here and make sure all the cameras are set up right and all the audio levels are set up right, the band check, you know.
You got to get up Christmas morning and edit video too. So.
I'll do that Christmas Eve. Thankfully.
Okay. Yeah.
Get it all wrapped up in that one day.
Yeah.
Yeah, we might as well. It's just, let's go ahead and finish it out strong. But yeah, so it's really it's a marathon, and it's a crazy day. We do bring in food for the staff that's working, especially the all day staff, so that they've got dinner here, because some of them, I mean, they're up here from, gosh, 1 o'clock. Of course, this year with services in the morning, it's going to be even more than it normally would. Typically, they're here from like 1 to 12:30 in the morning or something like that. One in the afternoon. So it's a busy day. But then after that, hopefully, you know, we get to kind of day. Now, when Christmas Day falls on a Sunday, which was last year, I think.
Right.
We usually have one service, and even though we might average over 2,000 people a week in worship services, we might have 20 on Christmas Day.
Yeah. I think we just ran regular schedule because we got the two locations, so we just did the regular services.
The Christmas Day services are, you know, like Catholics and others will do Christmas Day Mass no matter what day it is.
Right.
But you find when Christmas Day is on a Sunday, that's when you got the folks that are alone or, you know, they just want to be at their church.
Yeah.
Have some connection.
Encourage everybody, just wear your pajamas, right? Just come in your pajamas.
Come in your Lulu shorts and, and your jacket. So, yeah, when we say what we're looking most forward to Christmas, we talk about Christmas Eve, but really, man, the week after. So here's a question. It's a question for a child. If you could have visited the Christ child, just as the three wise men did, what would you have brought him as a gift? And don't say, I'll play my drum for you.
Not much of a drummer. What I brought, you know, I was, if you were this morning talking about, you said we're going to talk about Christmas, and I started thinking about what are some Christmas things that I enjoy that you can't get regularly.
Mm-hmm.
And I was thinking, there's only one real thing. It's those Archway Nutty Nougat cookies, the pink ones, you know what I'm talking about? You know what I'm talking about?
Marty's laughing, so she knows what
she
you're
knows.
Talking about.
You know, Mom? You know, Mom?
I'm trying to recall with Jesus doesn't want
well,
that.
Well, he doesn't have teeth yet, I guess, at that point.
He can numb it, though. Like Henry is. I'm going to look this up. Archway, what now?
nutty nougat or cashew nougat cookies.
All right, continue.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that was, I'm trying to come up with something.
Cashew nougat.
That's not, not silly.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. They look like an Italian cookie.
Yeah, but they're different.
Cashew nougat.
Yeah. You just see them around Christmas time.
Okay. I didn't know that. It has a Christmas bow on it, so that makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah. So.
So that's what you would have brought Jesus.
Well, I just thinking Christmas gift. Yeah. You know, I don't have any access to gold or frankincense. I don't know what myrrh is. No. I could probably buy some frankincense somewhere.
A frankincense scented candle. Yankee candle cup.
Scented, yeah, some essential oils. Yeah.
Describe a favorite Christmas from your past.
Favorite Christmas from my past. All right.
We've gone to the adult questions now. Just okay. A couple more, and then we're going to.
All right.
Because, you know, we have. It's Christmas. People don't want to sit around and listen to a podcast for 2 hours.
Got Christmas stuff to do.
Yeah.
Favorite Christmas from my past. All right. Well, lots of them. You know, so I'm going to come back at you with a question. It's going to start to think about childhood, right? Mm-hmm. Like some present I was looking forward to. And cause I don't remember all the moments and stuff, but it's all about, like, what am I going to get? The anticipation of that, and did I get it, and what was it like? And I was thinking about some of those things, and then I started thinking about you, and I thought, I'm so into myself. Like, I can't think of one, like, thing you were... One special gift you got, or like,
you don't remember all the special things I got you?
Well, definitely not that. But I can't remember, like, in my Christmas. It's you know, it's like the
you were only focused on, like, your side of the tree. And you right? Never, like, paid attention.
So in my mind, I can see myself, and then, like, you know, when you look over, it's just a cloud. It's just, like, there's nothing.
There's
over
something
there.
Going on over there, but it's ambient. It's ambient noise.
It's
and
not.
Action.
It's nothing that affects me. You know, it's kind of like the little brother on Christmas Story. That's mine.
You were actually really like that at Christmas.
I'm sure. So, yeah, I was thinking, I think maybe one of my favorite gifts was the Christmas I got the WWE wrestling ring.
Oh, the ring?
Yeah. So you remember that?
No, not really. Oh, okay. I mean, I remember that was a thing.
I'm not sure if I ever let you play with my Hulk Hogan, Andre the Giant, you know, guys, those big, they're big, like, rubber.
Yeah, they were, like, that tall or something.
Yeah, yeah. Used to wrestle those guys and get the ring, and now I could jump off the top rope.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
With the big elbow.
The Jimmy Superfly Snuka.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
So have you told your listeners, your audience, that your grandmother hit Jimmy Superfly Snuka with her cane?
We've talked about here that my grandmother, my mother, Marty's mother, used to love wrestling. It was back then, it was the NWA.
Yeah.
In Georgia, or the Georgia Championship Wrestling, right. And they would come to Columbus, Georgia. And I do remember she was not allowed to drive. Is that right, Marty? She wasn't allowed to go. She wasn't allowed to drive because she couldn't see the lights change.
I would tell her what color the lights were.
Yeah, we had to tell her what color the lights were, and she had her sunglasses on. She couldn't see. I don't know how in the world that you allowed that to happen.
I forbid her to go because she threw her shoe in the ring and got escorted out by the police.
See, this is why we need a microphone. My grandfather did not allow her to go because once she went and threw her shoe into the ring and was escorted out of the auditorium by the police.
And she also hit Jimmy Snuka with her cane.
And she took her cane, and that's what you, Marty, you remember something about, you saw her on TV. She wasn't allowed to drive or go, and no one was home when she got home from work, including the kids. She turned on the TV, and there we were.
Yeah. You went?
We were
I remember
there.
Going. I don't remember you being there.
No, we were there. Yeah, so she hit him with a cane.
In the studio, she had on sunglasses and her cane. She was sitting there, and you guys were like, there's something.
Yeah, so I always tell people she used to love the Braves and the stories, the soaps, right, and wrestling. And I just, she used to sit on the edge of her bed, and you could hear her screaming, they're going to kill him. They're going to kill him.
That's
she
why.
She somebody's got to do something. She really thought it was real. She really thought it was real.
That's why I loved wrestling.
So I know.
I can remember her.
I always kind of like wrestling because of that, too. And the Braves.
Absolutely.
And Stephanie and I, after we got married, we watched All My Children for about 3 years.
I never got into that.
And then I realized after about 3 years, it's just the same thing over and over and over again. Yeah. They don't really, no one ever dies. They all come back.
Yeah.
You know, all that kind of stuff. But yeah, that's.
What was the, so favorite Christmas memory for you then?
Gosh, so I have these I don't have lots of memories of like before, like 1984, like when I was young. But mm-hmm. I do remember these images that come to mind when we must have had our cousins with us that one Christmas. And I snuck downstairs in the middle of the night, and it kind of just discombobulated me because there were multiple stations of presents. And like, I can't remember if like Santa used to never wrap our presents and that year they were wrapped or so. I can't remember, but there was something different that yeah. kind of really threw me off. Like, dadgummit, this Christmas is going to be horrible. Share this space with other people.
Stupid cousins.
So it goes back to exactly what you said. It's like, we weren't really, as children, we weren't really thinking about anything but ourselves.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that really changes as we grow up or not, but I think it does when you have your own kids.
But in our home growing up, though, it was the anticipation for it was supported by our mother, right? Like, she loved all the surprises and moving towards Christmas. And so that was, you know, me raising my children, I was really always into that with them and keeping the, you know, the mystery and the magic about it. It all sounds like, but I mean, she really was. I mean,
we had a lot of traditional stuff. And I think like when our meemaw, we had that big old 9,000 pound record player that was in the living room where you open up the top and they put, and that's where, like, so now when I listen to Johnny Mathis at Christmas, that's all I remember is it was Johnny Mathis playing and who else was playing. It was all the old songbook stuff, Bing Crosby. Yeah. And so, like, that's the stuff we still, I don't do any of the, like, I don't really like the new, like, Mariah Carey and Taylor Swift and all that. I mean, I'll listen to it, but.
And we had the ceramic Christmas tree with the little lights, like the light bright ceramic Christmas tree.
I remember that.
Yeah. I used to get in trouble because I'd pull the lights out.
Yeah, they disappeared after a while.
And
there was the little candles.
There you go.
With the spinning wheel, right, the German, was it a German thing?
I think it was a German
thing. Yeah. And the candles, the heat made the things go. So those are the flashes of the
memories. You could probably find one of those on Amazon.
Oh, I'm sure you could.
I'm going to look for that.
That would make you happy. You remember Christmas Vacation, there's one of those. Right. And the guy gets to touch it and it all falls apart. Oh, yeah.
So. For people that are struggling to get into the Christmas spirit, I know, John, y'all start decorating like right at the beginning of
beginning
December,
of spring.
Right after. But what are some ways that y'all found as you get older? Because I know when you're younger, you have that like magic, that whole Santa thing. And then you get older and it's kind of like, you close your eyes after Thanksgiving, then it's January. So what are some ways that y'all slow down?
Well, it can be difficult. I'll tell you what I do is because I like giving gifts. I start buying gifts for people. So that helps me to get into the Christmas spirit. And, you know, I watch them decorate the tree and all that stuff. So, but that's probably for me, that helps me to get going. So I start thinking about, oh, this would be fun to give them. This would be fun. He'd be surprised by this. So that's what I do.
Kind of like a, what do they call it? White elephant, you know, go and buy surprise gifts for people.
I've got several
all under $5.
Yeah. I want to mention a couple that are in my Amazon cart right now, but somebody might see this.
It would give away the secret.
Everybody in my family watches every episode of this. So
yeah.
It's all of our
Yeah, right. Well, you know, one of the things we do here at Chapelwood, we do, it's traditionally called a Blue Christmas service, but service of the longest night. Okay. And it's usually around December 21st, which is the longest night of the year. And it's service that's been happening for a long, long time. And it's really designed for people who, you know, Christmas, I think most of the time we're always up, you know, it's the happiest season of all, right? It's the most wonderful time of the year and everybody's supposed to be up and joyful and gay and happy and all this. And then all of a sudden, some people feel like, well, I don't really feel like that.
Right.
And it could be any number of reasons. Could be that they've lost someone that they love. Could be a broken relationship or a broken job or a lost job, or could just be that they're just struggling with anxiety or depression with all these things going on in the world. That's everything gets ramped up, right? And there's a lot of expectations now. How do you perform in this? You know, the parties and all that sort of stuff. I think it creates anxiety in people that are not into that. So I would say, you know, participate in the season in the way that brings you life. And I don't think there's anything in the world wrong with making an appearance at a Christmas party and kind of walk in the room and then just heading right back out the door.
Yeah.
I mean, I've done that before. Yeah. I hate to admit that.
Are you setting expectations for anybody's party
for
you may visit?
Sunday school parties that are coming up because, no, I mean, it is like we talked about last week and we've been talking about this week just as families. Like, it's very different now. I think even, like, I've always been a very extroverted person. I enjoy going and doing these things. We used to try to make every single party and every single event, and it's just, it's different. Yeah. Just life is different. People are different. I find now that, you know, and it's like the other thing. It's like we have this wonderful concert and everything is so perfect. And it's like there can't be anything that goes wrong. And then all of a sudden I get 4 emails of people who didn't like something that I was wearing or something that I said. Or
I was wondering how much you were going to share.
Oh, yeah. Thought I was underdressed for the occasion or, you know. But, yeah, I mean, but at least those are old school complaints.
Yeah.
That at least no one was was accusing me of, you know, not believing in the Bible or not believing in the divinity of Jesus. I mean, they were just saying you should have dressed nicer, which my mom did tell me, you know, you're going to wear that to the. And I did wear a sport coat in the video. I was dressed up for the video for the offering. And so if you were online, you didn't get to see that. But no, just other but there are little things like that. Yeah. And it's like you recognize and remember that we live in a day now where no one has a thought that they're not going to send to you now.
Yeah.
Whereas before, like, and I still operate this way. There's a lot of the times that I see things happen and I go, and I have something I'm like, it's horrible, whatever. I'm not going to sit down and send an email to the person, say, hey, it was great, but let me tell you everything that was wrong about it. But this is the world we live in, and people don't realize, I think for your own personal well-being, your own mental health, you protect yourself. You don't have to put yourself out there in front of that if you don't want to. Mm-hmm. And so if you just want to sit at home by the fire and drink cocoa and be with the people that you love the most, do that, you know, and find things that recharge your battery and that give you life in the season. Don't feel like you have to live into other people's expectations of the season.
Yeah, so this Christmas season, our Christmas series, our Advent series, I'm sort of preaching to myself along these lines, because we had just a series of sort of tragic, really terrible things happening in families in our church, you know, just, you know, things that it's horrible for them, horrible. And, but, you know, as a minister, I mean, you know, you jump into these people's lives for a little bit and you begin to carry the weight, and then those kind of stack up. And what you want to do at that point is check out, right? Like so our series sort of around ministering to that, because I felt like our people needed it, but also I needed it. And so we're, you know, comfort and joy, really going with the theme of Christ being our comfort, that ultimately leading to joy. So yeah, I get that for sure, because I definitely have had that this year, that feeling of like, I'm just like.
Yeah. And for us, we don't always get to say no to everything. I mean, we don't have that option, but I would say healthy boundaries now more than ever. And you don't have to constantly be on social media. You don't have to constantly be watching the cable news. You can turn all that stuff off, and you can sort of protect your own, you can create your own insulation from things that, you know, there's some things that you can't stop and you can't control, but there are a lot of things you can. And so I think you can kind of craft the Christmas experience to be, to put it together the way that's going to feed you the best.
Certainly don't invite stress.
No, don't create more work for yourself emotionally. Yeah. It's the same thing in work too. Well, we have to wind this down. There's a lot of great questions here. If anyone's interested in this, it's called Christmas Conversation Starters. I found it at familylife.com. And so that would be a good thing. It's got you can print out a PDF, and you can go to the jar of conversation. It's pretty cool. They even have a nice little notes. Look at that. You know, you can print it out, and then you can cut them out and kind of do it with family. And it has little stories, and some of them are faith building too. It's like, you know, why do we celebrate Christmas? That's a great thing for kids to begin to articulate that. And I think that's really cool. So I think one of the things it says as we kind of come into Christmas, and what's one of the hopes? You know, we talk about hopes and joys of all the years or kind of at Christmas time. What's a hope you have for this next year?
Hope for the next year?
Yeah.
I got a lot of, you know, personal hopes for my families, you know, for my boys, you know, they're doing really well, but I, you know, looking forward to what, you know, what's happening with Russ, my youngest son, you know, has got his own business and he's developing that and he's taking that direction in life.
He's doing great.
Have a lot of hopes in that and how that'll develop for him. And of course for the church, you know, the hopes there that God will allow us to continue to do what we're doing. We, like I said, we get to see a lot of really good stories, and you know, I've been there now for 8 years, and so some of these folks I've known, watched them come out of jail, you know, out of a lifestyle of addiction for most of their life, and then, you know, have those steps back, meeting Jesus, begin to transform their life, be discipled, get their children back, restore their families, you know, find a career, and now some of them are so far removed from that lifestyle, been walking with Jesus for so long that, you know, you wouldn't believe that was them. You know, apart from some tattoos that you might see, you know, you wouldn't know if they told you their story, that that's not true, you know, because they're so different now. And so the hope always is that we get to see more of that happen every year. That's a hope for us. So
that's great. My hope is just that, you know, gosh, I mean, that just the world, the culture, the country, people would just really make more of a commitment, or at least want to see some positive things going on in the world, and that they would like contribute to that instead of contributing to all the toxicity and the negativity. So it's a hope that I can be the kind of pastor and leader that can help people move into that and see how important that is. And, you know, just a man, if we could just find some more unity, you know, and I say our country, but just among Christians, brothers and sisters, different denominations, right? You can not see things. I mean, one of the things, you and I don't agree on everything in the Bible. We don't see everything the same way. We don't read these scriptures always and interpret them exactly the same way. But, I mean, but we're family.
Yeah,
we're brothers. We don't break the fellowship or break the unity or the body, right? Over those things, we make jokes sometimes lovingly with one another, but there's never a question in my heart that you think I'm a Christian who's doing the best that I can and being as faithful as I can. Same with you, and I just don't. It's hard for me to understand why it is that so many other Christians can't find that sense of unity and love, even in, among disagreements. Maybe you have the answer for that.
People like to fight.
They do like to fight. It goes back to the WWE. It's just like the wrestlers. Everybody wants to be in the ring.
People like a fight. And I think some people think that that's feeding something. There's something that people get out of it, obviously, because they do it. Right. And then the sense of, you know, having is not joy or some fulfillment, but there's something that they
they think they're fighting for some great cause, you think? Or
I mean, you know, that may be the excuse for it. But I mean, there's something humans that, you know, that wants to be right or wants you to be wrong, you know, and just
control,
I mean,
and power
from the beginning. Right. And so I think that the answer is, you know, you're trying to be the kind of pastor that models that for the people that you're discipling and preaching to and helping people see from God's word that peace is what we're after, right? Mm-hmm. Unity is what we're after. It's what, you know, Christ wanted for his disciples. He wants for all those who come after them. And so helping people to see that, and so the most of the stuff, and I preach this to our people all the time, is that, you know, most of the things that you see that, you know, would upset you, you could probably overlook them, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, they're not coming to your doorstep necessarily, and people make arguments, well, taxes this, you know,
it's whatever. Coming.
Whatever. But day to day, most of the stuff that you're spending so much time reading about on Facebook or arguing about it wherever you go, are not things that are really affecting your family, other than your negativity is affecting your family. The time that's taking you away from them is affecting your overall mood. And that's what I said earlier about don't invite stress in. And you mentioned social media. And so, I mean, you get really serious about curating that stuff.
Yeah.
Or take it off your phone. That's what
and
I
you
do.
Can because these algorithms are designed to feed anger and fear because that's what sells.
Yeah.
And so I've had to sort of hide and mute and block anything. So now all I get are pictures of animals and puppies and the church stuff. And so, you know.
I just took them off my phone.
So, no, you don't even do social media.
I mean, it exists out there, but I haven't posted or anything. I just took it off my phone. You know, and anytime I have it on my phone, I feel the effect of it, the negative effect of it.
Yeah.
Or the waste of time. But usually it's, you know, I feel the negative effect of it. So, I got to get this off my phone. Yeah.
Well, this coming Sunday, one of the overlooked characters, we're going to talk about Herod. Now, this morning, you're like, what are you going to do with that? King Herod. But the big thing to me was like the world Jesus came into, the world God came into, was not this antiseptic, cleaned up, polished world. I mean, it was as bad, as vile, as power corrupted, as sinful, as destructive as what we see today.
Yeah.
And so I think that's important to realize is that God's still here. God's still coming into the midst of where we are now, and God can still do some amazing things if we let God do that. That's the thing. So that's kind of part of what we're going for Herod. Well, y'all are traveling back to Georgia tomorrow. And Marty, anything else that you'd like for us to talk about before we go?
Well, I'm proud of both of you. And I am thrilled that I got to spend this week with Henry.
Well, I'm glad y'all are here. We have a way we sign off of the podcast. You should know how this works, right? Yeah, all you do is say your name, right? So I'm John Stevens.
I'm Marty Gruber.
I'm Matt Stevens.
And this is Pod Have Mercy.